Hello, Blurs fans. Do you smell that? Do you smell the postseason basketball? That's right. Our Blurs are having some postseason basketball, and Lou and Buck are here to tell you all about the NIT tournament and our Blurs' chances at cutting down some more nets. Tune in to another episode of Podcast 63.
He jumps. He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
Postseason basketball, check. Sending our seniors off with some wins, check. Madison Square Gardens, also check. Are you ready for some NIT basketball, Lou?
I think I am.
I don't know if you are, because this is gonna be better than the NCAA tournament last year, because we're gonna win this one this year.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah. So for all of our listeners who might not be aware, there is an NIT game, and it is tomorrow. If you're listening today on Monday, it is on Tuesday. It will be at 8 o'clock. We're playing Creighton. It will be in Omaha.
Omaha.
It's going to be at Omaha, which usually is a pretty raucous arena. I've read that, they're thinking it's not going to be completely full just based on the short notice. But usually is a difficult place to play. Someone who would know that would be our head coach, Porter Moser, who played there his tenure, 4 years there back in, the 80s, I think. I don't know, who knows. Back some years ago. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good game. We'll get into a little bit more of the details a little bit later. But Lou, what's your initial reaction when you heard we were a 7 seed going up against Creighton?
Definitely tough. It was a weird one for a team that was in the NCAA tournament last year. But again, as we got to get what we can get. And a 7 seed's a little tough. Again, we'd like to see a top 4 so we can get a game at home, because we know how great the crowd has been this year. And also like to play at home. We love to play at home. But 7 seed's what we got. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. That's what we're going to have to play with. It's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. But I think we can do it. And I know that it's going to be a tough one for them to get a crowd, because it's the middle of the week. I don't know how the Creighton students show up to a game. They might show up, they might not. Again, this team isn't the team that had Doug McDermott's, but they do have his dad as the coach. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch, but I think this is a game that is going to be challenging for us, but something we can handle.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was a little bummed by the 7 seed, too. I mean, it's kind of what I thought we would get, but as you said, it would have been really fun to have another home game there at Gentile Arena. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit just about the NIT in general. It works a little bit differently than March Madness, the NCAA tournament, does. So just going to do a little rundown of how it works. So unlike the NCAA tournament, the NIT has 32 teams. Similarly, there's 4 brackets. Each bracket has 8 teams, so seeded 1 through 8 to add up to a total of 32 teams. So basically, there's like one less round than the NCAA tournament. So with the 32 teams, our bracket is, there are 4 teams, where the 7 seed playing the 2 seed, yada, yada, yada. Unlike the NCAA tournament, the first 3 rounds are all campus games. So the higher seed usually gets the home game, and then the semifinals and the championship are going to be at Madison Square Gardens the first few days of April. I believe the championship's on the 4th and the semifinal game's on the 2nd. So that would be super cool for one of our players, Marcus Towns, who's from the metro area there. Be pretty cool send off for him to cut down the nets at Madison Square Gardens. So similar to the NCAA, but a little different. Something they're trying out this year, which we're going to talk about here a little bit. There's some rule changes, for the NIT. They're going to try some new stuff out. The first thing they're going to try out, they are going to change the 3-point line. So it's going to be extended by just under 2 feet, so it's going to be a little longer. This is the distance used in international basketball, so FIBA. So it's the same length as FIBA, 22 feet and about 2 inches. So, Lou, what do you think? How do you think this is going to have? Do you think this is going to play an impact on either Loyola or Creighton's game? Or how do you think this specific rule is going to impact the NIT tournament?
Yeah, I think we're just going to hit on the three-point line right away. We're a team, and everyone knows it, and everyone who's passionate about this team. We live and die by the three. There are games where we're pretty great, and there's games where I don't even know if we can make more than one. So to see that line extended farther away from the basket, it's going to be a little tough to see. It's not the – again, it's people might be like, oh, it's only a foot or it's only inches if you total it all together. But again, that's further away from the basket. It's a different strength from their shot, different little – like, are you bending knees? It depends on how the shot form is going to be there. And I think it just adds a little different – adds a little challenge, and those little challenges can affect a player in multiple ways. Free throw lane – I think that just gives a team a chance more to have guys cut and crash more. Shot clock, that's definitely something we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But right now I think the three-point line is something that it's gonna see. You can see that difference. You might see that out there. Creighton, as we know, they shoot some threes. That's what they do. So I think this is an evenly matched offensive set pace team where they both live and die by three. Again, you can say that about a lot of teams, but we are a team that when we're hot, we're hot. And then when we only make one shot from the three-point line for the whole game, that's when you know that we're going to struggle. And we've defended the three toughly because we've let teams like Missouri State shoot a three from probably farther than this line at home, and that was tough to watch. But then we've shot great threes against some teams and gotten on some great runs. So I think out of all the rules, that's what's going to really be an interesting point.
Yeah, I think it might actually affect individual shooters differently. Like, so a guy like Cooper, like, I really don't think it's going to affect him that much. Yeah. Like, he kind of just can shoot anywhere on the court. Same with, like, Marcus. I'm not too worried about Marcus. I mean, he had a really bad last game, the semifinals of the MVC tournament. But I don't think it'll affect his shot too much. I do think it might affect both Lucas and Clayton a little bit because it seems like from them, their shots are often like right at the three-point line. But again, it's something we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it affects the game. The next rule change, which Lou mentioned earlier, is the free throw lane. So the free throw lane is going to be widened from 12 feet to 16 feet. And this is the same width used by the NBA. So, Lou, what do you think? Why? How is this going to affect the game?
It affects the game just because, like, the widening of the lane, I feel like, just opens up a different gameplay, different strategy. I think it just really just gets guys to, like, crash more, opening things up, spreading the floor out. But the consistency with the NBA is what I like to see, actually. I think in all college sports, you should be close or exactly similar to what the NBA has or whatever professional sport has above you, because that's what you're playing for. That's what every single one of these athletes is playing for, is to play at the next level. And it makes no sense, in my opinion, to not have them play 100% committed to the next level with the rules. So I think that's something that just NIT gets to show the NCAA that they could maybe consider switching to or doing. And I know in past this has been a great way for people to do test runs on how the rules changes affect teams.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to know how that will affect like the charging blocking rules. There was nothing specifically that I found on the website about like anything to do with changing the rule regarding someone taking a charge. But it might confuse the players a little bit. Don't really know where to set up or line up to take charges. So I'm kind of interested to see how that'll work. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, with, widening the lane, allow more cutting, and especially for Loyola, we know they're a team that likes to find the extra pass and guys cutting through the lane. So I think it might help them out in that regard a little bit. The next rule change is going to be the shot clock, which previously when you get an offensive rebound, resets the whole shot clock going to 30 seconds. In the NIT, it's going to go to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound. I mean, honestly, it's not a huge change. I think it's just like a change to try to quicken the game up a little bit, to encourage more scoring, because there are teams like specifically that I can think of, Missouri State, who, you know, every time they would get an offensive rebound, they would pass the ball out and use the full 30 seconds again. I think it's not a huge rule change. I think this is the one, in my opinion, that is the most likely to get implemented into NCAA basketball pretty soon. It's just small. It quickens the game and will lead to more scoring, in my opinion. Lou, do you have anything to add as far as like the offensive shot clock goes?
Yeah, shot clock, just in my opinion, as people saw, like when they reset shot clock, that just like game plan situations, especially I would say more in the second half, when guys want to either hold the ball or when they need to realize how to run a play. I think that will get to see guys understand the momentum of a game and where things are going. Kind of gives some teams breathers when it gets to the full 30 seconds. So that's what it's going to be, I think. I think it's really going to be, depending on the game and the situation, what's the score and stuff like that, some teams are going to use it to their advantage, and some teams are just going to need to rush still and go with the momentum of the game.
Yeah, so next one, team fouls. So usually team fouls are only accumulated in each half, and then if you get to six, it's 1-1.
Seven
is 1-1, and then 10 is 2 free throws. So now what they're going to do is that team fouls are going to reset at the 10-minute mark of each half. And additionally, 1-1 free throws are completely eliminated. Instead, once you get to 5 team fouls per each 10-minute segment of the game, you're going to, on the 5th foul, you will get 2 free throws, and then every foul after that, until the next 10-minute mark, you will get 2 free throws. I think this actually kind of benefits it, specifically this Loyola team, who is tops in the nation and not fouling. So I just think they're kind of decreasing the amount of fouls you need in order to get free throws. But for a Loyola team who does not foul that much, this actually, I think, will benefit them. I like this one. I don't know, Lou, what are your thoughts on the whole like fouling limits?
Yeah, no, the fouling limit, again, I think it's it depends if guys are aggressive and how they're going to really go about it. The teams will shoot the 2 bonus free throws after the 5th one. That just gets the guys into thinking for offensively, if you got a team on 3 fouls, you just want to crash because you're like, hey, I get at least a minimum. I get two. So that's going to be huge. So, again, it depends on what side of the ball you are. But for defensively, you can be a little aggressive, I think, early and then know, okay, these next 2 minutes got to back off because we'll reset at 10. So I think the game plans all are going to decide, do you go aggressive right away, see where things go? As a team, then, do you crash early or do you wait and then until the next 10? So, again, it's all going to decide on how teams play the momentum of ball and crashing the board, and then how aggressive defense is going to be for certain teams. I think that's where you'll see guys aggressively go for a steal more, maybe, or you'll see the opposite, where guys just want to go crash the board more. So that's what I think, yeah.
Yeah, also as a team, Creighton shoots just under 69% from the free throw line. So something to kind of look forward to at the game, see how Creighton does from the line. So those are pretty much the big rule changes, at least the ones that I could find. So it'll be interesting to see how these all will affect the game. Maybe they won't even affect the game that much. You know, for the most part, like, the 3-point line is probably the biggest one as far as, like, impact on the game. But all the other ones, I mean, honestly, they might not even come into play for a single game alone. So rule changes, one thing to know about. Next thing, we're going to switch gears, talk about our overall predictions for the NIT tournament, which, in my opinion, is the only tournament that matters this year because, you know, our Blues are in it. So we both fill out a bracket, which you can find, we'll post it on our Twitter page and our Facebook. Let's start off. Let's just go through our Final Four for the NIT. Who did you have in your NIT Final Four?
In my NIT Final Four.
Yeah.
So
it better be Loyola, because if you're not, I don't think you can be my partner anymore on this podcast.
So I guess we're just gonna have to end the podcast there,
buddy. Ooh, okay. It's been a good run.
It's been a fun run. But
episodes. It's been a good
run. So I'll be honest, guys. Like, there's a reason why I didn't have Loyola in the Final Four, because
he's a fake fan.
I'm a fake fan, but there's a reason, and it's a tough reason. I'm going to first just hit on where I think Loyola is going to do for me, and then we're going to talk about why Loyola isn't in the Final Four for me. So first round, I do think we can beat Creighton. I definitely think I think they're a little undersized at center. I know they have one guy, but they have a center who's out right now. And he's their starting center. He was out in the middle of the season with season-ending injury. So I think we need to pound the ball into Krutwig. And I think Uka Ahir can also benefit a lot by crashing. I think this team is going to know. Creighton's going to defend being like, hey, Cameron Krutwig, when he has the ball, he can do a lot of things with it. He can score. He can pass. Shoot from three, he can as well. Just to let the Creighton fans know that he can shoot from three. But I think we're going to win this game by solely off the backs of Cameron Krutwig underneath the bucket, really just putting it up. And then just having the guys spread at the top of the keys. Having Marcus properly crash the board, but also know when to dish it out and pass it up. And I think guys rotating around the top and then feeding into Krutwig would be great. And then I actually have us playing San Diego in the second round. For those of you who don't know, San Diego did beat Nevada in their tournament, I believe. I can just double check.
It's either a tournament or regular season.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
So I think it's going to be a San Diego Loyola matchup here. So I also then think we can beat San Diego and then move on. And then I have us sadly losing to TCU. Oh. So yeah, it's a tough one to swallow, but it's just how the things go. But I do have, in my final four, I'm going to say I have TCU, Texas, North Carolina State, and I have Indiana. And then I do have Indiana versus Texas in the final, and Indiana winning it all. Mm-hmm. I do think Indiana, really bad year for an Indiana team, but in quite honestly, they're a one seed. Mm-hmm. And I think their level of playing is great. I think they have great players. So I think this is a time for them to turn it on and against a level of competition that's not so stressful. So, yeah.
So, comes to no surprise that I have Loyola winning the entire NIT tournament. They're the best team in the tournament. They're the best team in all college basketball, so they're going to win. No, but in all seriousness, I do have them going all the way. I have them beating Creighton first round, then having them beat Memphis. Then a fun little rematch with old MVC team in Butler, and then them playing Texas in the semifinals and UNC Greensboro in the championship. And then my other Final Four team to go along with Loyola, Texas, and UNC Greensboro is a Horizon League team that is another 7 seed in Wright State. Little bowl, I mean, you know, at this level, I don't think all these teams are that far apart as far as, like, a 1 versus an 8 in the NCAA tournament. So I just think, you know, there's going to be some weird stuff that goes on in this tournament overall, which is why I think that Loyola can go pretty far. But, yeah, so I think UNC Greensboro will be playing Wright State in the semifinals, and then Greensboro will win, and Loyola is going to be UNC Greensboro in the finals. But now that you talk about it, I do like that Indiana team with Romeo Langford. Good guard play usually does impact tournaments. So, I mean, I would guess Romeo Langford is probably the best player in this NIT tournament. So it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. There's some good teams. There's some teams that have underachieved. There's some high-level mid-major teams like UNC Greensboro who finished 28-6. And then you have teams like Texas who are 16-16. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good tournament. Looking forward to our Ramblers cutting down the nets in Madison Square Garden. So we kind of talked about it a little bit, but just some teams to look out for in this tournament. I definitely was, knowing that Loyola is going to be a 7 or 8 seed, I was really not looking forward to potentially playing UNC Greensboro. There's a reason they were the first team out of the NCAA tournament. They're a very impressive team, mid-major, kind of similar to us last year, and they have a great record, but they did not win their conference tournament. So they're very good. Some other interesting teams in the tournament, Furman, who I'm sure our listeners should know, who we lost to earlier in the season. They are in the tournament as a 3 seed. Indiana, a great team. Bama, Texas, just to name a couple other ones. Bolu, who, what other, besides Indiana, who are some of your teams to look out for in the NIT tournament?
NIT, I would say actually a little sneaker for me would be, I have to say, Harvard. Mm-hmm. I have Harvard losing the first round, but again, as we have to be a little realistic, they were a few baskets away from winning the Ivy League against Yale. But again, as I also think in the same exact matchup, I think Georgetown can be a little bit. Georgetown was a scrappy team I watched a little bit this year. So that's one team. I would say Nebraska is actually not going to do too much. I did just see that one of their seniors decided to leave. So that's a little tough to see. And maybe the hope may be to see a little Furman action going on. And maybe Furman makes a little push. And I would love Furman, as true Loyola Rambler fans would know, to beat down on Wichita State. That would be a little nice thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just like to see Furman, the little guy, the beat on us this year and maybe get a little extension and say maybe see a rematch down at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that would be fun. But yeah, stay up to date with our Twitter. We'll be posting results and just overall commentary on the NIT tournament as it goes on. Make sure to check out both of our brackets. Make sure to favorite only mine because mine has Loyola winning it all. But no, in all seriousness, should be a fun tournament. Looking forward to it. And then now we're going to move on to our specific matchup, which, as we've mentioned, is Creighton. Talk a little bit about who, what they like to do there at Creighton, what they do well, what they don't do so well, and how I think we can beat them, or we think we can beat them. So first of all, they're from the Big East Conference. The Big East as a whole, I believe, only had three NCAA tournament teams in Marquette, Villanova, and St. John's. And Seton Hall as well, so they had four. But as a whole, the conference was, they had two pretty good teams in Marquette and Villanova, but then the middle was very muddy, and this Creighton team was a team that was definitely comfortably in the middle there. They pretty much had one good win all season, which came against a Marquette team towards the end of the season. They played some tough games. They played Ohio State. They played Gonzaga. So they played some good teams, but I think other than their win against Marquette, didn't have too many good wins. They beat a couple tournament teams from smaller conferences that won their automatic bid in their conference tournaments. It seemed like Creighton all season long kind of played, they beat the teams they should beat and they lost to the teams that they should have lost to besides that Marquette game. So, just kind of their season as a whole, they did finish, 18-14 and they did lose in the quarterfinals of the, Big East tournament. As far as their starting lineup goes, Lou, do you want to talk a little bit about their starting lineup and what makes that so impressive?
Yeah, no, Alexander, great, great guy they got on that team. Really, the starting five all average, again, in conference play, they all averaged over 10 points a game for age or their starting five. In overall for their season, their fifth guy was at 9.7 points per game. So again, is we're going to say they're roughly 10-point averaging out guys in the 15. Alexander with 16 points a game, but again, is to have your starting five all in double digits. That's a huge thing. They're a highly skilled offensive team. Again, is they're a little down when losing their big guy early, but there's a Crumple. Mm-hmm. Right, he stepped up. I think when looking at the stats, he's right there, second on the team. So they have the depth on their starting five. I think though their depth off on the bench is really going to kind of hurt him. I think they put a lot of pressure in on the starting five. And again, as we know from experience, not all starting five can really perfect a game all the time. So I think this is where Creighton needs to understand is, if someone doesn't have a good game, who's going to step up? But for this Loyola team, when all cylinders are working, I think our depth on the bench as well brings a great skill to the court because, hey, next guy up. I'm not having a game, but I know you will. I'll help you rotate. So that's the team I know we've been and we can be. And some games we just didn't see that. Some games we see some people just rushing the ball, just doing their own thing. But when we work as a cohesive team, bench and starters, I think we can easily take this Creighton team. And again, it's because their starting five are amazing. Great guys, Alexander, top player. And a Bullock, he's a great other shooting guard. Really great sharpshooters. But I think if we can hold them and then wait until we have benches, I think when rotations come in, I think we beat them on rotations. And I think guys like Cooper Kafis and like other guys, Frank even coming in. Frank, a strong game from Frank means a lot because we've seen these guys, our bench guys, have great games. Isaiah, I've always been a fan of Isaiah. Go back to the Richmond game if you want to look at stats. Had a great game. Christian Negron, like, he is able to have a game against Creighton as well. So I think those are just four names I think I just said added on to the starting five. So I think this is a game where it comes to Creighton starters lasting as long as we can rotate good guys in.
Yeah, Creighton loves to get out in transition and look for three balls in transition. So I think it's going to be really important for us, which we've done well all season, is getting out in transition defense and just making sure to guard all their shooters. There were a couple times, like I can remember in the Missouri State game or even the last game of the regular season against Bradley, where they had a few threes in transition. So it's just going to be really important to close out on their shooters. Even their big guy, Martin Krumpel, can shoot it from three. He's made 20 this season. He's shooting 33% from three. And like Lou mentioned, Balak and Zagorowski are some of their really good three-point shooters. They both shoot over 42% from three. So I think this team is going to live and die by the three in this game. And I actually like that's kind of one of the reasons why I like our chances is because they've been sitting now. It will be just about a week. And sometimes, you know, you can sitting for that long, you get cold and you might not have your 3-point game, your 3-point stroke going after sitting out for so long. Whereas our game, although we do like to shoot from three, we shoot very well. We find, you know, guys cutting, you know, Marcus attacking the basket, Cameron with his hook shots and his post moves. I think that in a one-game tournament scenario in which you haven't played for, you know, upwards of a week, establishing easy shots like layups and post play is something that's going to work consistently more than a team that shoots half their shots from three-point land. Like Creighton. So those are some things. I also I'm interested to see how Ahir does in this matchup. He is 6'7" and Creighton's tallest guy, tallest guard, is 6'5". So it's going to be interesting to see if he can kind of maybe cut to the hoop a lot more. Maybe Krutwig can find him cutting. He'll have a size advantage, and I think hopefully that size advantage helps him both offensively, defensively, and also rebounding the basketball. So I think some things to look forward to in this game, if we can hold Creighton to shooting below 40% from three and also win the rebounding battle, I think we come out of this game with a victory and move on to the next round of the NIT. But, you know, hopefully our seniors step up, looking for Marcus and Clay to have good games. And like we said all season, we need, you know, three guys to show up and three guys to have good games. So, you know, if it's a continuation from our last game, which Cooper went off and had, you know, 4 3-pointers, he might be that third guy. But we definitely will need more than two guys to show up and play well in this NIT tournament game. We need all of our guys to show up. But I think that's all I have. Lou, do you have any final thoughts?
No, it's going to be, again, this turnaround. That's how, let's see how this team goes. Game is Tuesday, March 19th, as we're recording this on the day before the Monday. But that's how this team should be right now in the process of heading there. So right now, just seeing how what team shows up and how aggressive we want to be.
Yeah. So, yeah, game's tomorrow. Game's going to be on ESPNU. 8 o'clock Central Time. Watch our Ramblers go ahead and beat down on the Creighton Blue Jays. But that's all we have here from Podcast 63. Thanks again for tuning in. Just a little bit of foreshadowing. We have potentially another podcast coming to you guys really, really soon. And there's going to be a fun, intelligent, well-known guest host on that podcast. So make sure to tune in. It'll probably be posted late tonight on late Monday. But it will be exciting. We're going to talk some NIT, but also just Loyola basketball and Illinois basketball as a whole. So make sure to tune into that podcast as well. But that'll do it from us, from Lou and Buck here, Podcast 63. Thanks for tuning in, and go Blairs.